She's pouring out her soul. She's just anguished, in great anguish. So she says, so what'd she say there? She said, Lord, if you give me a child, what does she say she'd do with it? She'd give it back to him. And she mentioned something else as she gives it back to him. What would she do? She would never use a razor on his head. So if you guys notice, yesterday afternoon I did a little self-haircut. I brought my barbershop here with me. And this is what I do to be able to save money in the personal care budget item in our family household. It takes a little bit more money to take care of the wife's hair. So we take all the budget in that whole category, and it goes towards Katie, my wife. And so I kind of have to do mine for free. So that kind of adds up, and that works out. And that way we're able to pay bills each month. So, and also, if we look a little bit more, too, this whole thing, the Nazirite vow, that's what she's talking about there. That was a common thing that God had set up to say, if you want to take someone, if you want to really consecrate their life to the Lord, if you want to set them apart, this is what they are to do. This is man or woman. They are to never cut their hair. And they are to never eat, you know, fruit of the vine. They're never to eat grapes or raisins or any type of wine or any type of thing associated to that. I brought some raisins with me as well here. This is kind of just a reminder. Maybe I could pass these around if you guys would like one. This might be the last raisin you have. If you're going to take this vow, you could eat a raisin today, and then after that, then it's no more for as long as you take the vow. So I'll pass these around just so you guys can have a little raisin reminder. But who else in the Bible? Do you guys remember anybody else in the Bible taking this vow? Any other situations? Samson? Samson took this vow. So we have Samson. There's another example. They're not really positive if this is the case or not, but John the Baptist. It mentioned that in the prayer when the angel came to say, you're going to have a son, you will name him John, and he will not drink wine, he will not eat fruit from a grape, he will not eat the food of a grape. And so it kind of alludes to the fact that maybe he also took that vow. There's a situation, does anybody else remember another situation in the New Testament where there's someone taking that vow? In the New Testament, like in Acts, the book of Acts, there's a point where Paul took that vow as well. He shaved his head completely, and I think it was maybe for just a period of time, like maybe 40 days, he decided, I'm going to shave my head and not cut my hair. Well, that's not too long to not cut your hair. It may have been longer. I think it was more like a year, possibly, that he said, I'm going to take that vow and I'm going to be set apart for the Lord. And that's kind of his covenant that he made with the Lord. James, the brother of Jesus, he also is legend to have been taking this vow because he's known for his hair. It was down to his ankles. So this is James, the brother of Jesus, one of the early leaders of the church. And so that's just one of the things he's known for. So those are some guys. There's other more modern examples. And I had a picture of this. I wasn't able to get it on the computer. But in the Rastafarian religion, they also, with the dreadlocks, that's one of the things, just to say, to never cut that hair is a symbol of being set apart and to have that vow of consecration to God. So that's an interesting kind of, because they use the Old Testament as a lot of what they go by, and they also use the book of Revelation and some additional things that they go by. But that's interesting that they take that vow in the same way. So, so here she is. She's prayed this prayer. She said, Lord, if you give me a son or a daughter, give me a child, I will give this child to you, back to you, and they will be dedicated to your service their whole life. So soon after that, she goes home, and she has a son. She names that son Samuel. It's amazing. It's just really cool that God answers that prayer, because I think the need in the situation in Israel at that moment was, you've got all these judges. They're coming up. The people are not following the judges. There's just a lack of leadership. And it was so important that God would have someone who was fully consecrated to him. And it was just such a huge time of need that they just needed to have a leader. And so God said, here it is. This woman, Hannah, she passionately wants to dedicate her child to the Lord. This is the one. I'll use this guy. I will use him. So that's exciting to think about, because at the same time, too, the whole priesthood was just falling apart. There was Eli. He was the current priest, and his sons were just really, really bad. They were taking bribes, and they would sleep with the women that would come to the temple, and it was just really just kind of a bad situation there, a very bad situation. And so here, you know, Hannah has this son, and she takes him to the temple there and says, "This boy is dedicated to your service the rest of his life." One of the things, too, noticing about Hannah's prayer, just her passion for God, what does Eli notice when she's praying there? What does he accuse her of? He accused her of being drunk. Does that sound familiar to you? Do y'all remember another story in the Bible where that's a situation? In Acts? Yeah, there's a situation where the people in Acts are praying, and suddenly they're speaking different languages, like just like Mark was up here, and they were accused of being drunk, because it's obviously people wouldn't be like that. They wouldn't be so into what they were doing unless they were just completely not intoxicated. So that's interesting that she's accused of being drunk. She's accused of not really. It's like, I wonder what Eli was thinking. He was looking at this woman at the temple praying, and he just thought, obviously, she couldn't be praying that passionately to God. She couldn't be that into what she's doing. And that's really odd that she was accused of that. And so she says, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm just very sad, and I'm very anguished, and I really want to have the Lord hear my prayers. I think that's the first thing to really think about, is that Hannah was so concerned that God would hear her prayers and was not praying for Eli to hear her prayers. I think that's one of the biggest things that jumps out at me at first. She wants God to hear her prayers and not for other people. So maybe think about that. Think about that in your life. Think about different ways that you do things for other people to see that you've done doing them, but it's not truly for God. It's not truly out of a passion for God. I know I do that a lot. I know there's times when we get together to pray and I'm like, all right, I'm going to really, wow people with my prayer. I'm going to say something that really will just convince everybody that I am in love with God and that I truly know what to pray for. And I think God really doesn't appreciate that. I think he looks right through it and says, hey, that's not what I'm about here. I need you to talk with me. This is not for other people. So that's convicting to me, just to look at Hannah's faith and that she is not concerned about other people. And also, she makes a conditional prayer. She says, Lord, if you answer this prayer, I'm willing to act on it. We talked a lot about that last week with Peter. He would say something, and yet he wasn't willing to act on it. Him back to you. That's my vow to you. I think that's amazing to be able to be at the point where we're ready to pray and say, God, if you bless me in this way, if this thing comes through or that thing comes through, here's what I will do in return. Here's what I will give up. Here's what I will sacrifice back to you in thanks for that. And I think God really wants to see our sacrifice. He really wants to see us say, hey, I'm not just giving this to you for you to absorb and just to take in and say, all right, thanks, God, I appreciate you giving this thing to me. But just to know that he's giving these things to our lives and that those things will flow out of our lives and flow back to him, and that we will give them and we will hold on loosely to the things that he gives us. So Hannah was very concerned there that she would have a son, that she would have a child, and her initial thought was, I will give this child back to the Lord, and she did. Also, I think in that too, she was very much excited about seeing the next generation follow God. She was very excited about dedicating an entire life over to the service of the Lord. I think that's something very special, and I think that's something we need to think about today. And it's exciting today because we're going to have a chance to dedicate some of the kids here. And it's going to be very cool because it's kind of us all saying that same statement, that we are passionate and we are excited about seeing the next generation of people raised up and seeing them follow God with their life. So that's a commitment that she made, and it's interesting too, when you look back at Samson, his mother made that vow for him before he was even born too. And she said, I will never put a razor on his head, and I will consecrate him and set him apart to the Lord. So that's really cool. Those are two very faithful mothers that say, hey, this child is not just an everyday child. This child is set apart for the service of the Lord. And thinking too, she held on to Samuel until he was weaned, which today in this world that's usually a lot earlier. Probably back then, Samuel was probably at least 2 years old, maybe 3 years old, and I imagine that was such a wonderful time for them. Here this was her only child, and I imagine she probably never put him down. She probably just held him all the time and just caressed him and just took time with him, and it was probably something so special because she knew this was it. This is just a couple years that I have with my child, and then I'm giving him over. And I can't imagine, I can't even begin to know what that was like for her. So she was a very sweet mother. She would once she gave Samuel over to Eli, I'm not sure exactly what Eli would have done with this little kid. Here's a 3-year-old kid, and you're this old man, you know, and you're a priest, and you're in the temple. What do you do with the 3-year-old? I don't know. That maybe they worked out something. But at least it says that every time that the mother came, she would bring another garment for him. She would come every year. It doesn't say, I imagine she would come more than that. I don't know. But it says that she at least came every year to give him a new garment for him, a priestly robe for him to wear. And it says that she would make him a little robe. And I just think that's really cute that she had this little robe and gave it to her little son that was there in the temple. And it must have been such a bittersweet situation for her just to imagine, here is my son, my only son, and I get to see him once a year, maybe more, but here he is. I have given him over to the Lord and to the Lord's service. If we think about that today, I even think about that, you know, imagine like giving my daughter Maggie over to, you know, to be, you know, a priest or to be a minister, like full-time, just say, hey, Maggie will need to go away to this other place, and she will have to live there. Imagine like maybe being a nun or something like that. She will be a nun, and I'll probably never really see her, but this is my gift to God. I cannot imagine. It just seems like to me it would be such a sad event. It would be like, oh, what a wasted life. How could you give up a whole life to this lifestyle? But to think about it as a joyful event, to think, wow, this is a life that's given over to the joyful service of God. This is a life from day one that is given over to serve God. I think my mentality really needs to change about that, to think about a whole life committed to the Lord. My first thought is, oh, it's drudgery. Oh, no, you're locking this person away. Oh, they're entombed. But to think, wow, this is setting someone apart. This is setting their life apart and keeping it holy. I think we see also a lot of Hannah's joy in this process, in the song that she sings as a result. And if you guys remember, the first song that we sang today was There's No One Like Our God. And a lot of that is taken straight from her prayer. And it says, you know, she lifts, he lifts the needy from the ashes. It says that seats them high up with the princes. And that whole song that she sings, this is in chapter 2, she sings it, and it's almost like in this waiting expectation that God is sovereign, he is strong, and he's going to take my sacrifice that I've made, and he's going to make it even greater. He's going to make it something that blesses the world, and he's the one that is strong, and he's the one that's going to fight the battle. So once a year she came and gave him that little robe, and it says about Samuel's life, and this is another thing too that sounds familiar at a later point in the Bible. It says, and Samuel the boy continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. And that's really neat, because that's cool, because it says that about Jesus too, that he grew in favor with the Lord and with men. And so you can imagine this little 3-year-old boy, just from the day one, he's there in the temple, and he's growing up, and he's growing in favor with the Lord and with men. And then also it says that the Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. None of Samuel's words fell to the ground. So the things that God put on Samuel's heart, they didn't just go into his life and fall to the ground. They went out, and they actually spread to the rest of Israel. Samuel was a great prophet in his day. He spoke the words of God, and he was faithful to his life, to the life calling that God had given him. He filled the role of Eli's wicked sons. They had them killed, and they were no more. And so he filled that role as a priest and as the just being able to stand and be the intermediate there between the people and God. And he spoke God's word to all of Israel, and he actually anointed Israel's first king. And so it's kind of that stepping stone from this period of judges where it's this big cycle of obeying God and turning away from God to more of a concrete concept of a king that's there, and more of a concrete concept of a nation of Israel. So that was Samuel's role, and it's so cool that Hannah saw that before it ever happened. Hannah had the faith to believe, this child, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord, and he's going to be something. So I want us to think about that, and just to think, you know, Hannah was a leader by being a good mother, by being a faith-filled mother, by praying to God and not for people. And she saw the next generation was dedicated to serving God. And so I want to ask the question to you, in what ways are you committed to seeing the next generation follow God? I don't know if you guys have any ideas, anything that you've committed to maybe. I know the parents here have put a lot of effort into that. And the next generation. The next generation, we could think of it in biological terms. We could think of it even just, you know, if you're a sophomore, junior, senior, think about it as freshmen that are here. Think about it as maybe even a high school kid that's in town, maybe a high school kid back home. That's the next generation in a lot of ways, too. Who is the young person in your life that you're committed to seeing them follow God, to seeing them dedicated, to seeing them set apart, to praying for them regularly, to being just devoted to them? We're going to have a few young people come up on stage later today in a little bit here, and we're going to ask that God would set their lives apart and consecrate them. And maybe it's one of them. Maybe you want to commit your life to saying, hey, I'm going to just pray for them. I'm just going to be committed to praying for them. I'm going to take care of them when I can. I'm going to guide them in the ways of God. And I just want to do my part in helping them out. So that's the question. Who is your kid? Who is your spiritual kid that you're taking care of? Jeanette, if you guys know Jeanette, she's in Blacksburg. She's on staff with us. She does the big sisters thing. And she has a girl. I'm blanking at her name. Brooke. Yes, Brooke. And Brooke is in middle school, and she's like taller than me. And she's just Jeanette is so dedicated to her. They do things together, you know, very often. They go out to movies and they hang out a lot. And Jeanette, you know, amidst doing a million billion things, has time for this girl that she barely knows, that she just has gotten to know, and that she's dedicated to helping her grow up, and just being someone solid in her life. So maybe that's something to look into. Big brothers, big sisters, something like that. So. Who is your kid? Who is your spiritual kid? And while I'm at it, I just want to give a little props to mothers and just the importance of mothers and how incredibly, you know, vital they are in our life. And I think, you know, not enough can be said about this. Just seeing Katie day in and day out, her commitment, she puts in at least 10 times as much effort in raising Maggie as I do. And I just see it. And I can't do it. I'm not a mother. I can't be a mother, and it'll never happen. I hate to say this, but it will never happen. So I want us to really just give honor to mothers in a way that's just beyond anything a Hallmark card ever could. And so if you guys have a cup, I just want to give a little cheers to mothers. You guys would raise your cup, and I just want to say to all the mothers out there, all your hard work. Not necessarily here, but all the mothers that are out there too. And let's just give them, let's just drink to mothers and celebrate them. Hip hip hooray. Woo. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So that was William with that. I don't think it's the same William Wallace as Braveheart, but so even though it's not Mother's Day, we can give them credit, and we can let them know how much they're important to us. All right. Well, let me pray, and then I guess Todd and Ryan, you guys have the next thing coming on. So, Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, just a chance to look at this life of this amazing woman of God. And Lord, she saw a need. She saw a need in her life, and then she saw how that need in her life could bless the world too. And God, I just thank you for her sacrifice of giving Samuel back to you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd enable us to be following her in that way, just being faith-filled. Lord, just teach us how to pray in ways that only you hear and not for other people. And God, I just pray you just continue to give us a passion for you and a passion for this next generation and for seeing them follow you. Lord, thank you so much, and we thank you for this morning. Continue to bless this day. In your name, amen.